Hello and welcome again to season 3 of the Natural Womanhood podcast. I'm your host, Grace Emily Stark, editor of Natural Womanhood, and I'm so excited for this third episode of the third season of the Natural Womanhood podcast to air because we're talking with someone who I think is just doing some really wonderful work in the space around intimacy and sexuality, especially as lived out in marriage. That person is Ellen Holloway. She has a phenomenal podcast called Charting Toward Intimacy. It's not towards, she corrected me. It's Charting Toward Intimacy. So go check that out after you listen to this episode. Ellen and I are going to talk about some of, you know, the great benefits of using natural family planning or fertility awareness in your marriage for increasing marital intimacy. And also asking, you know, why don't more people know about this? Why don't we talk about that more? And why aren't we better at sharing this good news with other people, with other couples? And she's got some great resources for how we can do that better. So stay tuned. This is a great episode. I'm so excited to share it with you. And after you're done with this episode, be sure to go back and listen to episodes 1 and 2, if you haven't yet, of season 3 of the Natural Womanhood podcast.
We are so excited to have Ellen Holloway with us today. She has a fantastic podcast called Charting Towards Intimacy, which we haven't quite figured it out. We know that I've been on it. We don't remember what we talked about. I think
as no idea.
I am right now, I was in the throes of like very, very heavy, heavy pregnancy. I'm 36 plus today. So, it's fitting that I'm here talking to Ellen again, and this time on the Natural Womanhood podcast. So thanks, Ellen, for being here today. And I want you to introduce yourself and your podcast and some of the things that you're doing in the fertility awareness space for us, please.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Grace. My name is Ellen Holloway. I am a Catholic speaker and really a big promoter of natural family planning and fertility awareness, as well as just embracing God's call for married sex and sexuality. And so on the podcast that I host, Charting Toward Intimacy, those are the kind of things we talk about, the real life day-to-day living of natural family planning. And then as well as getting into a little bit more like theological, deeper discussions about, you know, how does the beauty of sex like play into the real life of being married? And like, you know, God says one thing, but like society says a totally different thing. And how do we combine those things? So those are the kind of conversations that we have on the podcast. And I also do some one-on-one coaching, and I have some courses and things like that. Just really, again, in that space, trying to, trying to take the taboo off of this particular topic, because nobody really ever wants to talk about it. I mean, that's kind of where I came from myself, is sex was a super taboo topic. It was not talked about at all. I can remember 2 conversations that I had with my mom.
I don't even know if I had that.
Well, they weren't great. So, And so, you know, this was just something that was completely suppressed. Any desire, any inkling, any conversation, any even thought of sex was just completely suppressed by myself. And then I got married, and it was like, hey, now you're supposed to know everything, and it's supposed to be great, and it's supposed to be beautiful, and this beautiful gift. And that's not what it was. And I think a lot of women find themselves in that space. And so that is what I am trying to combat, is, is really just speaking into that space of sex and sexuality and the beauty of it, so that other women don't fall into the exact same trap that I did of just suppressing everything for years and years and years and years. And then you get to what, I was 22 when I got married, 23, I think. And suddenly you're supposed to know everything, and you know, where are you even supposed to turn? And that's what I'm doing too.
Yeah, I love that. And I love too that your podcast and the work that you do, it's geared towards a Catholic audience, but I feel like there's so much there even for non-Catholics, because we have a lot of non-Catholic listeners and followers at Natural Womanhood. And I think the Charting Towards Intimacy podcast that you do just really speaks to women who are steeped in our culture, mm-hmm. even more so than just to Catholic women, because we've all been, I've been using this phrase lately. We're like steeped in the waters of this, like just poisonous, you know, tea from the sexual revolution. And a lot of us have like just kind of been drinking it without even realizing it. And so whether or not you're someone who believed that sex should be saved for marriage, or even, you know, just saved for, you know, an intimate relationship, or whatever your views were on sex, you know, that's really been heavily influenced by our supposedly like sex positive culture that doesn't actually really teach anyone about how to have healthy, mm-hmm. loving, flourishing sex lives, no matter how sex positive you think you are. Yeah. Right. And so that's all of us. That's not just Catholic women. That's not just Protestant women. That's not just secular women, right? We all have taken in these ideas from the culture about what it means to be a woman, what good sex looks like, or what it should feel like. And, it reaches out into what we think about our bodies and our fertility, obviously too, right? And so that's kind of where we're making the connection here today, is how these really weird, twisted ideas we have about sex really don't lend themselves well to us being able to talk openly and communicate honestly about fertility awareness, about natural family planning, about what it looks like to live those things out in a healthy, fulfilling way. And I think that it definitely impedes people from being able to like evangelize about it, to tell other people about the goodness in it, right? Because we all just feel so weird about talking about sex, and probably even weirder about talking about fertility.
I remember seeing this thing on Instagram, a reel, this was like several years ago. And it was this woman who, and I don't know what her religion was, but she had several children. And she was pregnant again, and she was like, this reel, she was talking about like the worst part about being pregnant is the fact that everybody knows she had sex. And I'm like, that's horrible. Like my heart just broke for her, because she was, you know, she's embracing, just this, the beauty of marriage and having lots of children and how beautiful. And she clearly like loved being a mother of multiple children, but then she was just like riddled with guilt for having to have sex in order to like get the children. And
having, what was that line from Juno about having the evidence under your sweater?
Right? Oh, yeah.
When she calls out the boy, what's his name? Polly, is it? Whatever the boyfriend's name is, Michael Sarah, for being ashamed of what they did. And then she says, well, at least you don't have the evidence hidden right under your sweater.
Right.
And I think that really speaks to that, what the story you just shared. And I've seen similar things on social media where it's like, wow, this is how far we have gone in severing the realities of sex and the realities of fertility, that they exist in these two separate spaces, these two separate realities that we all just kind of try to keep up appearances are somehow not at all connected. But obviously, they're as intimately connected as anything can possibly be, right?
Right, right. Well, and we see that a lot in culture of just, you know, the girl who has an unplanned pregnancy, let's say the high school or college girl who has an unplanned pregnancy, is just like locked up in a closet and like everybody kind of shuns her because she made a mistake. And here's the thing, the mistake was not premarital sex. No, no, no. The mistake was not adequate contraception. And that's just ridiculous, because guys, sex makes babies. Whoa. I know, I'm really shattering some misconceptions here, but like, but our culture wants to believe that sex doesn't make babies. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's just this like weird, shocking thing that, I don't know. I don't even know what to like say to it, because I'm always dumbfounded.
Right. When you see phrases like, I think the kind of prim, proper English phrase is to fall pregnant.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that that's a phrase that people use as if like,
I fell ill.
So I follow, like, I follow Kristen Hawkins, who I think is the, she's the president of Students for Life of America or something like that. And she's been going around and doing these college tours and talking about abortion because it's a pro-life organization. And she had a line the other day in one of her Instagram posts from a talk she gave where she said, look, it's not like women walk around falling on penises and getting pregnant. And I was like, wow, that is one way to put it. Yeah, nope, we have autonomy. We have the ability to control our bodies and ourselves. And yeah, the idea that pregnancy is just sort of something that happens, like, oops, when you're engaging in sex, is what makes so much of sex scary, I think, mm-hmm. whether or not, again, you're someone who believes it should be saved for marriage or not. It kind of makes it this like boogeyman kind of thing that people become afraid of. And I do think the way that we talk to young people about fertility and contraception and pregnancy as something to be feared, it does bleed into then all of the ways that we think about sex when we are married.
Well, I think something that is also kind of frustrating in, you know, in talking to young people about sex and pregnancy and stuff like that is the second that a young woman gets into a gynecologist, like the first thing she's offered is birth control, whether or not she's sexually active. Mm-hmm. And without, like, I mean, there are so many things to say about that, and we don't have to, like, dive into that too much. But, you know, with there's not proper education on the risks of hormonal birth control. There is like a lack of I mean, they're honestly not even telling the truth when it comes to what birth control actually does. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's necessarily that the doctors are trying to lie. I think the doctors have been sold a bad story on exactly what birth control is and does. And I mean, I think a lot of that is due to the fact that Big Pharma has money and there's no money to be made in fertility awareness. Believe me, I'm an instructor and I charge for my classes and I don't make money. Yep. And, you know, there's those of us who like teach a method of fertility awareness or advocate for fertility awareness in some capacity, whether it's, you know, inside of the Catholic Church or outside of it, there's really not very much money to be made. And so we don't have money to then go advertise to doctors and say, hey, look at this. So what we have to rely on is the people who actually use fertility awareness to then inform their doctor that, no, I don't need to use hormonal birth control. No, I don't need to have sterilization. Like, this is an effective method of like family planning. But then on top of that, I think still, and actually this is something my co-host and I were just talking about on a podcast episode that we recorded for Charting Toward Intimacy. So maybe go check out the one that we have about peace in pregnancy planning. But we were talking about how our culture's idea that we can control the outcome of sex has steeped so far into everything that even people who use fertility awareness still have that same black and white mindset of achieving pregnancy or avoiding pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And there is like this lack of understanding that sex makes babies. Like something that we say in the Catholic Church a lot is that sex is both unitive and procreative. So it has a unifying aspect to it, a bonding aspect. There are chemicals in the brain that are released at climax that bond you to the person that you're having sex with. And there is a procreative aspect. Sperm exist in every act of intercourse. Like that's mm-hmm. that's part of, that's what sex is in part at least. And so there's always these two aspects of sex. Now, you might be infertile, and so the possibility of getting pregnant is very, very low or mm-hmm. non-existent, right? If ovulation's already passed, you can't get pregnant. But at the same time, the act still has that procreative aspect to it. And when mm-hmm. we forget that, and when we think about fertility awareness as being so black and white of I'm either trying to get pregnant or I'm trying to not get pregnant, then, you know, that we're just letting the culture influence us. And we're really forgetting an important aspect of what the point of sex is.
Yeah. Yeah. To put it in that neat little like binary, right? Just really doesn't speak to the lived reality of what it is to be a person in an intimate relationship with fertility, with, mm-hmm. with fertile potential. Right. And I just want to go back to something you said about, you know, having to rely upon people who use fertility awareness for the most part, being the ones to advocate to their doctors, which is so often the case, like, no, I can use this and it's effective and, you know, don't worry about it. I know you weren't taught anything about it in medical school, but you can use this effectively. That is a lot of pressure to put on people who are already doing something so countercultural, right? To just expect everybody who uses fertility awareness or natural family planning to also be like a vocal proponent of it. And it does feel like that is what a lot, there's just a lot that rides on that. And, you know, everybody has a different relationship with NFP. You might use it because it's the least of all the evils out there when it comes to, you know, planning pregnancies and whatnot. I had somebody, actually she was our confirmation leader, when I was being confirmed in the Catholic Church, several years ago now, who said that, and she had just had her fifth child. She said that whenever she got down on NFP, and started thinking, you know, oh gosh, there's just gotta be something better out there. All she had to do was Google birth control side effects. And she would just immediately go, okay, yep, nope, that's all I need to know. But NFP is the thing for me, right? And that's the nature of the relationship that a lot of people have with it. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. Like, I don't think everybody who uses NFP or fertility awareness has to be, like, super passionate about it. Like,
yes, you don't have to start a podcast to talk about NFP if you use NFP. You don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like Grace.
You probably don't want to be.
And I got to say, Grace, like, I do this for a living. I promote natural family planning for a living. Mm-hmm. And I get nervous to talk to my doctor about it. Like, I get into the doctor's appointment and I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. Yep. We rehearsed what we're going to say, Ellen. We rehearsed the sentence. What is it again? You've said it on the podcast like a million times. It's what you tell your listeners mm-hmm. to say all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I have to like pump myself up to tell my doctor that I use fertility awareness. And my doctor is like, you know, she's on the scale of, you know, bad ones and really, really good ones. Like, she's not too bad. But yeah, I have to like to pump myself up for it. It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah. And so it's no wonder, you know, we wanted to talk about in this episode, like, why don't people know more about this? Because that's the refrain you and I had talked about when, you know, we're teaching, because we both still instruct occasionally in different methods, that the refrain you hear over and over again is, why haven't I heard about this before from young women in particular? You know, especially if you're teaching like a couple who's engaged, and they're in the midst of wedding planning and all the stresses that come with that. And now they're being thrown all this new information about their bodies and sex and mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. And that refrain you hear over and over again, why didn't somebody tell me about this earlier? Why didn't anybody think that I deserve to have this information, you know, a long, long time ago? And I think it comes back to what we opened the episode talking about, is how uncomfortable we are talking about sex. And you cannot talk about fertility realistically and honestly without having frank discussions about sex. And we're really uncomfortable around that for all our sex positive culture, like to claim that it is. And we also are too reliant on people using it in the trenches who are struggling with it to be the ones to tell other people about it, to be the ones to tell their doctors about it. And so that's where organizations like, you know, Natural Womanhood, I have to toot our horn a little bit, and some of the different fertility awareness organizations, I think, but a lot of them are so method specific that it can get a little bit tricky there. But where organizations like yours, Charting Towards Intimacy and Natural Womanhood, where we're just trying to get the message out about fertility awareness, about fertility in general, about sex in general and the realities of sex, it's really important and to share the work that we're doing. I hope it really empowers people to, you know, even if you're not the most rah-rah, yay, fertility awareness, natural family planning person, that you read something on our website or you hear a podcast from Ellen and it kind of inspires you to have that conversation with your doctor. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be with your doctor. It can be with a friend. And we can have these conversations in ways that I think are really natural. I've learned over the years that just about every woman you meet, it doesn't take very long for like family planning discussions to come up. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, like, it really doesn't. And it's so funny because I basically all of my like, you know, local mom friends now know like what I do, the podcast that I do, what I talk about, right? But it's like when I met them, I was always kind of like, okay, how am I going to like talk about this with them? Because I want to make sure, they're using NFP, right? and if not, like we're going to have a frank discussion, right? And so I was like, oh, okay, how am I going to bring this up? And it's like, it just happens naturally.
It just happens. I know. It always blows me away. I mean, I was literally like, this is a true story. 2 weeks ago, I was getting my teeth cleaned. I was at the dentist and the hygienist started talking to me about how her sister, because I'm pregnant, maybe that's what spurs the conversation, but she was telling me about how her sister had an oops for her third and how nervous she was and how now her husband has a vasectomy and now she is still taking the pill because she's so worried about another pregnancy. Oh. And I said to her, well, you should tell your sister, do you know about charting? I was like, you should tell your sister about charting her cycles and then she wouldn't have to worry about any of that. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've been doing that. I have an app on my phone. And, you know, like that's where you can kind of decide, like, okay, how deep a dive am I going to go into this with the person cleaning my teeth? But just telling them like, oh, that's so great. You know, just make sure you're reading the signs of your body. You know, don't let an app tell you what your body's doing. You know, if you really want to know, like, learn a method. There's different fertility awareness methods and learn to read the signs of your body, your cervical mucus, you know, that sort of thing. Because, it is amazing. And now more than ever, when women are finally more eager to talk about how fed up they are with their birth control, which I don't think was always a thing. I think for a long time, women were really afraid to say anything against birth control because it was like, oh, they're going to take my woman card away if I talk negatively about birth control. But now women are really eager to share their stories about their birth control experiences in a way I don't think they ever have been before.
I think it was because of the whole Yaz incident and the, all of everything that went down with Yaz and all of the testimonies that suddenly somebody started talking and everybody was like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one who was like dying by taking this pill. And then I think that really opened the door to people actually like talking about how birth control is like not working for them.
And then the Escher coils too in women's fallopian tubes, that was another major class action lawsuit that finally did get people talking about these things. I think it it doesn't have to be this big, scary thing to just have conversations with the women around you. Just being open and honest about the realities of living in a fertile female body, right? But still, you know, I wonder if we can expect any more of a sea change, or if it's going to be, if the most effective way to communicate about these things is on just like individual level and kind of waiting as like just one woman at a time kind of finds out about it and starts learning more. What I wonder what bigger organizations, whether it's, you know, the Catholic Church, which pioneered fertility awareness, which pioneered natural family planning, and everything else that comes with it, that they have not been great at promoting it. Right.
I mean, well, and that's actually something that I'm very passionate about within the Catholic Church is, part of most marriage prep programs in the Catholic Church is at least an introduction to natural family planning. And let me tell you, Let me tell you, like 90% of those quote introductions to natural family planning are terrible. Like, I'm just calling it out. Honestly, if you're listening right now and you run a marriage prep program, I can almost guarantee you your introduction to natural family planning isn't good enough, because we only what was the study that showed us that this was just several years ago that only 2% of Catholics actually utilize natural family planning. And yet the Catholic Church is like, yeah, we, you know, we promote this. And like, this is what, if you're going to plan a family and you're Catholic, like this is your only option other than complete and total abstinence, because of the, you know, the understanding of the unitive and procreative aspects. And we can't take one of those pieces away. And I think what happens a lot is like, we hear those stats, but then we're like, oh, but the program that I run, we're in the 2%. And I'm sorry, if you are listening right now and you run a marriage prep program, your program's not in the 2%. Your program's in the 98%. I can almost guarantee you that. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be honest. Because I think sometimes like we just don't realize that the problem is us. Like, hey, me, I'm the problem, right? I botched those lyrics. But now the song's in your head.
Now to live there rent free for the next hour.
Sorry about that. But yeah, I like in my marriage preparation, I got a terrible introduction to natural family planning, and therefore like didn't start using fertility awareness, didn't start charting, and started on birth control, and things got bad very quickly in my marriage and in my body and mood and sex life and everything. And and then I started learning actually what natural family planning is. And I was like, wow, this needs to get out into the world so that people actually know what it is. And so that is part of the reason why I have a marriage preparation add-on module, basically, for any kind of marriage preparation program. This can just be a like add-on module that the couples go through. It is a video that gives a comprehensive introduction to the theology behind it, but then also, and this is what a lot of these programs miss, is an introduction to the fertility science and the fact that there are like a billion different methods. Because I see introductions a lot where it's like, oh, well, yeah, no, don't worry. We send all of our couples over to, you know, a Creighton instructor who does an intro class. Well, great. That's a great introduction to the Creighton method of fertility awareness. Wonderful. That's not an introduction to what natural family planning is, what the fertility science is, and all of the different methods. But then something else you were saying, Grace, and this is what got me on my my soapbox here, is you were saying like, you know, this talking one-on-one individually with women, right? That is absolutely the key. What did Jesus do? He one-on-one discipled like 12 people, right? And of course, I'm talking from a more religious perspective here. But if we want to share something.
No, but that's a great track record to
right?
point that out. You did one-on-one with 12 people, and now there are billions of Christians
right?
around the world 2,000 years later. So it's an apt metaphor, even if you're not
even, yeah, even if you're not religious, I think you can like see, like he worked yeah. really closely with 12 people, and yeah. then Christianity spread across the globe, right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. if we individually walk with women and couples and tell them about this, then it's going to spread much better than just trying to talk to a big group of people. And so this marriage prep add-on module program that I do called NFP Basics, that is what we do. Every couple that comes mm-hmm. through the program has a one-on-one meeting with a coach mm-hmm. to talk to them about their specific questions, to help them select a method. Because that's one of the most confusing things. It's like, what yeah. are all of these like biomarkers that I'm supposed to track, and which one's going to be the best for me? And I don't understand.
And which methods make you do what and why?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's very dependent on like, you know, what the woman is interested in charting, her specific like lifestyle. There are methods that like don't fit certain lifestyles.
Yeah,
the medications that she's taking, certain methods are not good if you take a lot of antihistamines. Or certain antidepressants can do the same thing that antihistamines do, and to making cervical mucus almost impossible to right. understand. And so that's the beauty, is we have all these different methods, and really, as long as someone actually sits down and asks the right questions and kind of figures out some important details, we can actually navigate and start you off on the right foot. Of yeah. here's a method that's actually going to work for you and that you're actually yeah. going to like.
yeah.
Instead of like forcing couples into just the method that's most convenient of, right. oh, well,
because
we've
you have
got
an instructor in the area.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to like rib Creighton, but it's like a lot of dioceses are like, well, we have like 5 Creighton instructors, so everybody has to take Creighton class. I'm like, well, Creighton's not the best yeah. fit for everybody. It's a great method. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a fantastic method. It's not the best fit yeah. for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, the other piece of all of this, I love what you're saying about just kind of that individual handholding that just really needs to happen at the outset when all of this is new to either young women who are wanting to chart for health reasons or couples who need to learn it for family planning. The other piece is finding other people who are doing it too, mm-hmm. right? And that's something that we really need to work on. It is something we are working on at Natural Womanhood. We're piloting some programs, specifically in some Catholic parishes, because again, this is where a lot of NFP instruction happens, for couples who are using NFP. So they can kind of be aware of each other and can come together in kind of almost like support group type meetings, because it's not an easy way to live. There's nothing in the culture that is conducive to helping a couple learn or live fertility awareness and family planning. And so having people to walk alongside as you're doing it is really, really critical. And again, we are all working through or hung up on all of our different ideas about sex and fertility, that it can make it hard to be like to the couple next to you at Mass, be like, hey, use NFP. Want to talk about it? You
know, it's just, it is a weird thing to bring
loaded.
Up.
It is loaded, right? But that's really kind of what we all need and what we all crave. And I think there's evidence of that in the fact that like you don't have to talk to a woman for more than 10 minutes in a chair at the dentist to find out what birth control she is or isn't using. You know, like women share this information freely. And it really speaks to just fertility is not something that we can just shut off and never think about. Like mm-hmm. it is part and parcel of who we are. It's something that if we're getting to know someone, it's probably something we're going to talk about, right? If we want them to know us, because it is such a huge, huge part of who we are, I think, especially as women. Because it has implications for so much of our lives, right?
Absolutely.
Pregnancy and motherhood and everything else. So Yeah, I love what you're doing with your program. I think it's so worthwhile. And for folks who aren't Catholic, who don't have the benefit of going to a marriage prep program, you know, I would hope that, I think everybody should be doing some kind of marriage prep, whether you're getting mm-hmm. married in any kind of church or not. It blows me away that people don't have some of the conversations that just absolutely need to be had up front before you forever tie your life to someone else's stuff, like how we're going to plan for and prevent pregnancy, right? That's a big one. Often it's just kind of put on the woman as like, I don't know, whatever she chooses to use, right? But when fertility is a combined effort, a combined endeavor, it really should be something that you're both in on, that you both talk about, that you both have buy-in on. And regardless of where you're getting married or how you're getting married, it's something you need to talk about. And I would hope that more people start to take seriously that these conversations are best had up front and that these things are figured out up front. Mm-hmm. And that even if you don't have the benefit of a marriage prep counselor or something like that, you know, that's one of the reasons we have a quiz on natural womanhood about which fertility awareness method is best for you. You know, at the very least, go find that quiz. Go find other resources like Ellen's podcast, Charting Towards Intimacy. Find the resources on the Natural Womanhood website that give a primer of every different method and what biomarkers they use. You know, educate yourself, do your own kind of premarital counseling on this stuff, because mm-hmm. it's going to loom large in your marriage as it naturally should. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And just, not trying to make fun of you, Grace. This happens all the time. The podcast that I host is called Charting Toward Intimacy without an S on the toward.
Oh, toward.
Yeah. So that towards is the like UK, English grammatically correct, and toward is the U.S. English grammatically correct. So,
oh, listen to me talking all posh over
Your little fun fact for today. Although, if you look up Charting Towards Intimacy on Instagram, you do find I did take that handle, but there is one post on there, and it says go find the correct Charting Toward Intimacy handle. But yeah, if you want to, you know, dive in a little bit more into the kind of things I was talking about, I have a podcast, Charting Toward Intimacy, Instagram, at Charting Toward Intimacy. And then if you're interested in NFP basics, please reach out to me as well. I'd love to chat with you about that.
Yeah. Regardless of if you're somebody doing any kind of counseling, premarital counseling, you don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be I don't know, a pastor. Even if you are someone who just helps foster young people's relationships, I think it's something that is so worthwhile to give them these tools so that they Absolutely. Can navigate.
Yeah. And NFP Basics doesn't have to be a part of a marriage prep program. I have couples who just take it for personal enrichment mm-hmm. all the time. So that's also, if you yourself are kind of like, oh, I'd love to kind of dive in a little bit more on that and have somebody counsel me individually. Mm-hmm. Go to nfpbasics.com.
That's awesome. Great. Getting the word out. That's what we need to do, because, you know, we've covered why don't more people know about fertility awareness, I think, and what we can do to kind of try to right the ship on that so that more people, it's really just about having that light bulb moment of, wow, this is information that I always wish that I had known. Having that light bulb moment happen earlier in people's mm-hmm. lives, right? That's the goal, definitely.
Definitely. So,
thank you for being on with us today, Ellen. Really appreciate it. And we'll be hearing more from you in the future, I'm sure.
Thanks so much, Grace. I had a great time.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Natural Womanhood Podcast. We loved having Ellen on talking with us today. We're so grateful that she stopped by. We want to encourage you to go check out her podcast, Charting Toward Intimacy, and check out her program, Intro to Fam Basics. We'll include those links in the show notes. And, you know, if you're someone who is trying to get the word out, if you're a marriage counselor, a pastor, something like that, trying to get the word out about NFP, fertility awareness, to your clients, to your congregation, we really encourage you to check out Ellen's work. For the next episode of the Natural Womanhood Podcast, episode 4 of season 3, we are going to have Abigail Anthony on. Abigail is a writer based out of England currently. She's studying at Oxford, who wrote a really fascinating article for the Free Press this past August about her journey with endometriosis from symptom onset to finally getting the care that she needed to live life to the fullest. So we're really excited to have her on. We think her story is going to resonate with a lot of our listeners, a lot of our readers who struggle with endometriosis, and hopefully provide them with some hope when they hear how she was finally able to get real help for this incredibly debilitating issue that she suffered with for far too long, and as so many women do. So please look for that episode to drop in a few weeks with Abigail Anthony. And until then, visit naturalwomanhood.org and check out all of our excellent content. Be sure to check out our Instagram and listen to episodes 1 through 3 in the meantime as well of the Natural Womanhood Podcast.